Bible study I did about 4 years ago, and it's called The Story. And it talks about the upper story and the lower story. And when you, for myself, you sort of have that moment that things start to make sense to you. Even though, that's what I said yesterday, is I'm sort of on a need-to-know basis with God. It's like a private in an army or a secret agent. You're on a need-to-know basis. And when you need to know more, I'll let you know more. And so that's how I walk through missions, is I walk one foot at a time, one step at a time, and I just believe that God has his hand and he's in control of everything. And the more I looked at the story and God's upper story and my lower story here on earth, we're always going to have fires and we're going to always have deaths, and we're in this miry clay, and it's a struggle, let's face it. Life is a struggle. But we never know the upper story and what God is doing that we don't need to know. We think we do, but we don't. All we need to know is you put one foot in step in front of the other, and you move forward. And God will light the way. And even if he doesn't, sometimes you think, oh, I made a mistake. I don't understand. I'll share a little bit right at the very end about an upper story that I couldn't orchestrate it. And as I look back at my life, I think of all these things and all the struggles that I've gone through, and I couldn't orchestrate that. I'm just Dave McElhenney from Medicine Hat. I don't have that ability to do the things that God brings into missions. And so this morning was sort of funny. I was listening to a podcast by Dr. Ravi Zacharias, and he was telling a story. And the story was there's a man, and he's a farmer. He's living in the country, and he has one horse. One morning he gets up, and the horse ran away. So his neighbor comes to him and says, "Oh man, that's bad luck. What are you going to do now?" He says, "Well, I don't know anything about these things." So he goes on with his day. Well, 2 days later, this horse comes back to the farmer, and he's got 20 other wild horses with him. And this guy comes, and he's all excited. His next-door neighbor, he says, "Wow, that's so exciting. What great luck you have that your horse brought 20 more horses." So the next day, this young son, he gets up, and he's going to break one of these wild horses. So he's trying to tame the horse, and the horse kicks him, breaks his leg. The neighbor comes over, and he said, "Man," he said, "that is bad luck. You know, here you thought you had all these horses, but now your son has a broken leg. What are you going to do?" He says, I don't have any wisdom on what to do." So the next 2 days later, the rebels come out of the hills, and they're looking for young men to fight in their army, in their rebellion. And they come, and they're going to take his son, and he's got a broken leg, so they don't want him. And so the neighbor comes back. He said, "Wow, that was lucky that your son had a broken leg." And the old man said, "What do I know about these things?" Dave Nelson looks at me and says, "Oh, that's the upper story." Right? We don't understand what God is doing in our lives. If you would have asked me, we've been working in Kenya now for 13 years. If you would have asked me the first trip I went to Kenya, are you ever going back? And I have to think, well, I didn't know what God was planning. The people that he was going to bring around. Pastor Wilson came into my life. Was that by chance? I don't think so. God was orchestrating that long before I was ever a Christian. He was orchestrating Wilson to be at this place at this time. And he was orchestrating me to be out in the middle of the desert with this crazy Kenyan that was basically sharing the gospel and having a church underneath a tree with three people for 3 years. He was sure that God had called him there. the upper story and the lower story. It's just, that's how God got a hold of me, and I started thinking that way. And everything that's happened in our ministry, God has orchestrated. I can't take credit for it. I was going to show you some fantastic pictures. And I'm going to actually set my projector up after lunch, and I can show some pictures on the wall. And you guys, if you have any questions, feel free to ask them. But so some of the things that Nehemiah has done, basically, you know, we started out as a construction ministry, and it didn't take very long to realize that they don't need any more buildings. What they needed was water. And so to date, we have drilled 42 water wells, and you guys are a big part of that, right? Dave Nelson come on board, and then all of a sudden this church came on board, and people, individuals in the body, they came on board, and we've been able to drill 42 water wells. And, you know, what does that entail? Well, it's a lot of hard work, a lot of tears, a lot of struggles. Missions, one of the guys that just came on board, he says, man, missions isn't for the faint of heart. You know, it's really not. But if you look at it like, hey, God's got the plan. I only need to know so much, but I'm just going to keep moving forward. It's just amazing what he'll do. And so 42 water wells, I would say that's probably affecting 40 or 50,000 people. So the women, instead of walking 25, 35, 40 kilometers for filthy, filthy water that you and I wouldn't drink, now they're walking, well, still 20 kilometers or 30 kilometers, but they have life-saving water. And that's one of the biggest encouragements for me as I go out into the desert. And Dave Nelson, you know, we go out into the desert, and the mamas, even though we don't understand them, they start talking, and we get translation, and they're saying, thank you for the water. Our babies aren't dying anymore. And that's the impact we're having. When I started drilling water wells, when we started, you know, I thought, well, we're just going to drill a water well. What's the big deal? But through the water wells now, Pastor Wilson, we have a Jesus video team that travels with the drilling rig. And so they go out and they show the Jesus video in the Turkana language. And it's just, again, through that, now there's been, the number is, it's 55 to 60 churches have been planted out where we've drilled water wells way out in the desert where they've never heard the gospel. But now these people, they're hungry for the gospel. And that's what missions is all about, is to bring them Jesus as the water, but we also give them a physical water. And so now, yeah, we're sharing the gospel further out than we've ever been. And, you know, the church is growing. One of the struggles that we have is, you know, we've started gardening projects. This is the third time now. And we know it will work. We know it can, but we're still working to try and find the right people. And so I had pictures of it. You know, I was there in November of last year, 2015, and we planted seeds. We got these young guys trained up in the gardening, organic gardening, and they were all gung-ho, but, you know, we got them seeds, and 6 days after we planted them, they're out of the ground this high. I went back in the beginning of January, like 5 weeks later, and we were able to sell spinach out of the garden. It was beautiful, beautiful spinach. But I go away, and, you know, then all of a sudden the soil's no good, and the water's no good, and the seeds were no good, so they're making excuses. So missions, I want to tell you, like, I want to tell you the truth. Everything doesn't go the way that we think it should go or the way we plan it to go. But I believe that God gave us an idea to help these people learn to garden. We just have to find the right people that want to do it. The Gardens of Eden. Oh, our education program. Basically, I think it was probably four or five years ago now, we started an education program, and it was for mostly kids that, when you, like from 1 to 9 is, let's say 1 to 9 here, would be fairly reasonable to go to school, and chances are if it's a community school, there's no charge at all, sort of thing, and they get one meal a day. So a lot of times that's what the Turkana people will do. They'll put their kids, it depends how close they are to school, they'll put their kids into school because then they get at least one meal a day. So what we did is we set up a program that if they made it through school up to grade 9, that we would start this education program and help them to get a high school education. And so, I mean, we come up with a contract, and so far from high school, we've had about 6 or 7 graduates that have sort of stayed right through. And so we expanded that, and we said, well, if you keep your marks up and you go through high school and you want to go to college or university, we will do our best to put you through. And so now we've had 1 university graduate and 3 business school graduates, and Turkana people, right? And so, again, this means, like, we don't understand it. Like, here, we have an opportunity to go to school. We have an opportunity to do whatever we want to do. But there, it's totally different. And so when these young people get out of university and they come to me and they say, thank you so much. I want to come back to my own community and give back into my own community. And one such young guy, his name is Laur Philemon, and he wanted to be a nurse. And basically, he's graduated from nursing, and he went back into his village out in the middle of nowhere, and they built him a little, a pharmacy, for lack of better words, but a building where he can, dispense medications for people that can't make the trek into town. But he's serving in his community. So, you know, we helped one person, but now he's helping thousands of people. And at the same time as helping them, he's sharing the gospel with them. The upper story, lower story, I got to get back to that now. I can't remember if I shared with you last year about a guy. I got after the water run, I was worn right out. This was in 2015, and I had been praying for 2 years, you know, God, I need help. It's that thing that he'll only push you to so far, and he knows your limits. And I thought I was at my limits a long time ago, but he let me go a little longer. And so I was praying, you know, God, I need help. So one morning, I wake up and there's an email on my computer, and I get letters from all over the world, but this one was from a guy from Anchorage, Alaska, and he had been praying for a couple of years. He wanted me to, he found my name on the internet, and he wanted to know if I would help him to bring a drilling rig into Kenya because he felt he was supposed to drill water wells in Kenya. It's funny how God works, eh? Ain't I lucky? No, I have no idea. But his letter was 4 or 5 pages long. And so anyways, basically I said to him, well, you know, I could help you do that. I said, but we've done it. We've helped bring a drilling rig in, and we've helped bring parts in and stuff like this. It's a nightmare. I said, if you have the experience, why don't you come on board with us to help us? We already have the drilling rig. And so, again, we met there in November, and then he made the decision that, you know, I think this is where God wants me. And so he joined our team. So we went back in January, we tore the rig right apart, and we proceeded to rebuild it. We raised the money. We rebuilt this drilling rig. And now It's working fantastic. And I always say, when somebody starts to talk about our rig or our Nehemiah Construction, that's our ministry, I'm thinking, thank you, Lord. You've got them right where you want them. So he's been working for us, with us for a year now. And the great thing is, he's a percussion tool expert. That's the kind of drill that we have. And he brought, like, we spent quite a bit of money just fabricating new tools that in Kenya, nobody's even seen them before, right? And they've been using percussion tools for 50 years, percussion drills. And Larry says, well, you know what? We need this, and we need this, and we need this. And he drew up diagrams. I had have a friend, they're two Israeli brothers, and, you know, we share the gospel with them too. And they have an engineering shop, and they've built all our tools. And they've been very kind to us, you know, friends of Nehemiah, I'll tell you. And it's God leads us from place to place to place. And I don't have any idea really what's going on other than I want to be obedient and I just want to keep moving forward. And that's, it's a great place to be in. Because if I start taking credit for things, who knows where we're going to be. But I don't think we're going to be going forward. And so I like to be kept in the dark. So anyways, Larry has 300, no, he's drilled wells. Oh, he drilled for 2 years on exploratory gold mining in Alaska. And the great thing was, it was the exact rig that we have in Kenya that he used to drill the wells. And so he did 300 wells in 2 years. And I'm thinking, wow, we can't seem to get three wells in a year. So the long story is, God's got the plan. He's going to orchestrate the things you need to walk forward. I was there we were there just in November, and I went out to the rig, and I stayed with the team on the rig. And it's a really good thing. Larry and Joyce, they fit right in. They're like parents to the rig workers now. And they're a family, and they do devotions every morning before they start to drill. And where they can get the community involved, they get the community leaders to come over and pray every morning before the rig starts. Like, I mean, wow, this is God. He's doing something. Every time the rig leaves, they say, well, we need a church. Can you send some people to start a church here? The bad thing is with that, we need more finances to train up more leaders. But God's got that answer too. We were there in the last 2 months. Larry and the team have drilled 4 water wells in 2 months. So I'm very excited about that. You know, it's only God that can do this sort of thing, and that upper story. If I wouldn't have went to Kenya, I wouldn't have met Wilson. If I wouldn't have went to Kenya, I wouldn't have met Dave Nelson probably. He brought us back together after years of being separated, right? But God had a plan. And now Larry's part of that plan. And you guys are part of the plan. And for me, it's just exciting to be able to come and share with you guys and share the goodness of God and what's going on with Nehemiah. The last thing is Pastor Wilson is going to be coming back with his wife in at the end of March. So Wilson and Alice. And we could use some prayers. We're trying to organize it so that we can get him into as many places that are supporting us as possible. And I know Westlock is one of our favorite places to come. So sort of mark that on your calendar. If you have time to come out, we're going to maybe have a dessert night or just something. So we'd love to see you there too. So, but anyways, God is good. And I just want to thank you guys so much for your support. It's been just such a blessing to be able to come here and share with you guys. So, thank you.